9, Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9. As you're finding that, I want to tell you a little bit about Christmas weekend. We have we're planning a very special, great Christmas weekend. We have Christmas Eve service, 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock on the 24th. 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And we do that early 3 o'clock time because we know some people don't like to be out and driving in the dark and all of that. So 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, and that's a Saturday. And so Christmas this year falls on Sunday. So we're actually going to do our Sunday service Saturday night. Okay, so we won't have a service Christmas morning, but we'll have great Christmas Eve services, 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock on Saturday night. And I want to encourage you not only to be here for that, but invite someone to come with you. This Christmas Eve service is always a great, great celebration. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, this passage of Scripture was written 800 years before the birth of Christ. And it's an amazing passage of Scripture because of the incredible accuracy in which Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus was born, talks about the birth of Christ. Now, you might recognize this particular passage of Scripture because it's been made famous by the Messiah, written by Handel. And so it gets sung a lot this time of year. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And I want to back up again to verse 6. "He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. Now, critics of the Christian faith will oftentimes point to this particular promise, this promise of peace, and say, well, this is some kind of failure on the part of the Bible, on the part of the Christian faith, because, I mean, Jesus promised us peace, and in the last 2,000 years in human history, there hasn't been a lot of peace. So what happened? I mean, just in the last century alone, over 100 million people were killed in wars in the 19th century. So critics of Christianity will point to this and say, well, there's not peace on earth. What we need to understand is that many of the messianic prophecies, the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ, they're two-part prophecies. The coming of Jesus into the world is a two-event thing. Jesus came the first time. He was born into this world 2,000 years ago. But one of the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth is he prophesied, he told us, he promised us that he was going to come back again. So the return of Christ is a two-part event. He's come once, but he's coming again. And so many of the prophecies that we read in the Old Testament concerning Jesus have been fulfilled, but many of the prophecies are yet to be fulfilled. So when it comes to Jesus reigning and ruling on the earth and being this Prince of Peace in the world and reigning on David's throne, that is yet to come. It's still to come. It's going to come someday. And just as sure as Jesus came the first time, Jesus is coming back again. Right? Yeah. So, one day, Jesus is going to come back, and he is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And we often refer to this as the millennium. And during this millennial 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, Jesus will set everything right. He will restore order to this chaotic world. He will rule and reign with love and justice. He will restore everything that's been lost by humanity's rebellion and lawlessness toward God. And the kingdom of Christ will be a kingdom of holiness. It will be a kingdom of order. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. And it will be a kingdom of peace. The reign of Christ will bring eternal peace. Now, how many of you are looking forward to that? The reign of Christ. There won't be any more wars. There won't be any more strife. The kingdom of Christ will bring absolute, perfect peace. In fact, Isaiah 11, this is kind of cool. Isaiah 11 describes the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And here's one of the things that's going to happen. There's going to be peace not only between human beings, even the natural kingdom, the animal kingdom is going to be at peace. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "The wolf will live with the lamb." This is a description, again, of the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. "The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isn't that awesome? I mean, you're going to be able to go up to a lion and just grab him by the mane and just... Yeah, because everything will be restored to God's original intention, to the way things were in the garden before Adam and Eve rebelled against God. God will restore all things. You see, God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for his creation. And all the powers of hell cannot stop the plan of God. Yeah. Man, I'm excited about that. But what about now? I mean, that's going to be then, the peace of God. It's going to be then. But what about now? What about today? Well, I want you to know this morning, you don't have to wait for the return of Christ to have peace in your life. You don't have to wait till then. You know, many of the promises of God, they're going to be completely fulfilled one day, but right now we have a taste of them. For example, when it comes to health and healing, you know, the Bible says one day there's not going to be any more disease, there's not going to be any more death, we'll never go to another funeral, there will be no more sickness. The Bible says one day there's going to be no more pain. So we have that to look forward to, but at the same time, we can actually experience God's healing power right now. Amen? How many of you in this room at some point in your life, you know God touched you in some way, God healed you of something at some point in your life. You prayed and God touched your body, God brought physical healing to your body. Raise your hand right up. Okay, everybody look around. Look at that incredible witness of God's healing power. So we have a taste of the healing power of God even now. It's not perfect yet, because even after we get healed, eventually something's going to take us, right? Eventually we're going to die of something unless we're alive when Jesus comes back. But the reality is one day that's going to all be gone, but today we can still experience the healing power of God. That's how it is with peace. One day there will be perfect peace in God's creation. But until then, we can still experience the peace of God in our lives. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes back. Here's the promise Jesus gave his disciples before he was crucified and went into heaven. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So I want you to see here, Jesus promises peace, and this peace is from him. The peace of God is not something we have to try to conjure up. Like, I have to try to get myself in this, you know, certain peaceful condition. The peace of God is actually a gift that comes from Christ. He says, "My peace I leave to you." Now, Jesus wasn't promising here that we're not going to have problems. Seems like that's what some people are expecting, that in order to have peace in their life, they got to be problem-free. No, Jesus didn't promise that we were going to be in some kind of miracle bubble that was going to protect us from every hurt and every problem in this world. In fact, he promised just the opposite in John 16, verse 33. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in the same verse, Jesus is promising trouble, but he's also promising peace. He's saying, yeah, there's going to be problems, there's going to be troubles until I come back. But in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your troubles, you can know my peace. Remember this, peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of Jesus. Peace is not the absence of trouble, peace is the presence of Jesus. I think about the time that the disciples were with Jesus out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and this incredible storm came up, this big squall came up. They're out there in the boat, and the disciples are like freaking out. They're scared, this big storm. They're about to lose their lives, they think. And Jesus, they look, and Jesus is actually taking a nap in the boat. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And so they're waking Jesus up. Jesus, don't you see what's about to happen to us here? And Jesus actually speaks to them, and he says, you of little faith. And then Jesus stands in the boat. He rebukes the storm, and the storm subsides immediately. That's the great power and authority of Jesus. And I want you to know that storms are going to happen in life, right? But Jesus is going to be with you in every one of them. His presence, his peace will be with us. So peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of Jesus. So I want to give you this morning just two keys to experiencing the peace of God right now. Now these two things aren't going to be up on the screen. If you're taking notes, I'll just write these down. I'll give them to you here. Two keys to experiencing God's peace right now in our lives. And the first one is this: keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you want to have peace in your life, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, getting back to the passage that we read at the beginning, Isaiah 9, where Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. In Hebrew, the words there are Sar Shalom. The word Sar means ruler or peace. Jesus is that. He's the ruler. He is our prince, rather. So where Jesus rules and reigns, there's going to be peace. And then the second word, shalom, is the word that we translate into English, peace. But in the Hebrew, this word has a lot more depth to it than what we typically mean by peace in English. Shalom, probably more accurately, is translated as wholeness. It's wholeness. So it's not just the absence of pressure or the absence of problems or having a peaceful state of mind. What God can give us in our lives is actually a sense of wholeness, cohesiveness. He can give us a sense of integrity in our lives. And this includes every area of our lives. He can give us physical wholeness, spiritual wholeness, relational wholeness, emotional wholeness. He can give us wholeness in every area. It is God's shalom. This is what Jesus brings to our lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. At all times in every way. Now I love that. I love that. He can give us peace at all times in every way. Now I love it when I have peaceful moments in life, you know what I mean? You know, you just picture yourself, the snow's falling, you're in a little cabin with a fire going, and you're just surrounded by your loved ones, and you smell the turkey baking in the oven, and it's a Hallmark moment. It's wonderful, right? And when those moments happen, they're wonderful, they're peaceful, but that's not most of life, right? Most of life doesn't look like a Hallmark card. And yet, at all times, we can experience this peace from God if we will keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it gives us this promise. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." When we keep our mind and our hearts fixed on the Lord, God can give us his perfect peace. Listen, our lack of peace in our lives, face it, oftentimes the lack of peace that we're experiencing, it's our own faults. We've gotten our eyes off Jesus, and we focused on all this other stuff. And when you start focusing more on your problems than you're focusing on Jesus, it's going to be hard to have peace, right? When you start focusing on your problems and your hurts and your stresses and your fears, when that becomes the focus of your life, it's very difficult to have peace in your life. So we need to take our focus off of those things and get our focus on Jesus. Even good things in our lives can start taking our focus. And we start focusing too much on things that they're good, they're okay, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're not Jesus. And when our focus gets off Jesus, we start losing the peace of God that we can have. So how do we focus on Jesus? How do we make sure that we're keeping our lives focused on him? Well, a simple way is to do what you're doing right now. You're gathering together to worship Jesus and hear the word of God. So everybody, good, pat your neighbor on your back and just say, good job, way to go. All right, so you're doing that. Awesome. But how many of you know we don't focus on Jesus just one day a week? Right? Yeah, if you want to have the peace of God, you need to focus on Jesus every day of the week. Okay? And we do that by spending time with him, spending time in his word. The word of God, the Bible, is such an amazing book. It's so powerful. It's not like any other book in all the world. The word of God is supernatural. It's spiritual. And when you read the word of God and let it really invade your heart and your mind, it will fill your heart with the peace of God. Spend time in the word of God and spend time in prayer. Just spend time talking to Jesus, okay? Now, you can do this anytime, but I believe starting your day this way, starting your day in the word of God and starting your day first thing in the morning in prayer, to me, that sets the tone for the rest of the day. It just sets the tone, okay? How many of you remember Super Bowl 48? Anybody here? It's only the greatest Super Bowl ever, ever, where the Seattle Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos, right? Okay, now, if you remember that game, which I do vividly, the very first play from scrimmage, if you remember this, the center hikes the ball, and it goes right over quarterback Peyton Manning's head, right? Goes right over his head, back into their own end zone. The Seahawks get a safety, and then they have to kick to the Seahawks. And it sets, you know, the game turned out 43-8. I just happen to have that number in my head, 43-8. But to me, the entire game, the tone of the entire game was established with the very first play of the game. First play set the tone for the entire game. Sorry, Broncos fans, but it did. It happened. So, in your life, set the tone for your day by spending time with Jesus. And I can just tell you from personal experience, my days are so much better when I start them right, when I start them with the Lord. But now, here's the cool thing about prayer, is you don't have to pray just in the morning. Prayer is not a ritual, it's a relationship. It's an ongoing conversation with the Lord. In fact, we learn in 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he wrote, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means you can talk to Jesus all day long. Your entire day, you can be having an ongoing conversation with the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do. Most of us have never tried this. I want to challenge you between now and the end of the year, try it sometime. Try just saying, okay, today I'm going to talk to Jesus all day long. Okay? Now, you're still going to go to work. You're still going to do what you do. This isn't a formal prayer time, but you're just going to say, when I'm at a stoplight, I'm going to talk to Jesus and I'm going to listen. When I'm on my break, I'm going to talk to Jesus. Throughout the day, I'm going to have an ongoing conversation with Jesus. And I want to challenge you to give it a try, because I'll tell you this, if you try it one day, you're going to love it so much you're going to want to do it again the next day. It's going to be so pleasurable and so peaceful having an ongoing conversation with the Lord. You will see that the peace of God will fill your heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. And then the second thing I want to give you this morning is not only do we need to fix our eyes on Christ, but also we need to keep our lives free from all of those things that would rob peace from us. So fix your eyes on Jesus for sure, but at the same time, keep your mind, keep your heart free of clutter. Keep your heart free of clutter. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22. Isaiah 48, 22. Not up on the screen. Listen to this. Isaiah 48, 22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." There is no peace for the wicked. That's what God says. God says, if you're out there living in sin, if you're living apart from me, there's no way you're going to have peace in your life. And I believe that this verse is true even if you're a saint and you're living in disobedience. Okay? So this is true of people who don't know Jesus, but I believe this verse is also true for those of us who know Jesus, but we're doing stuff, we're participating in things we know we've got no business being a part of. We have sin in our lives and we're not repenting of it. We're not going to have peace in our lives. You're not going to have, if you're telling lies, you're not going to have peace in your life, first of all, because you know it's wrong, but then you got to remember all the lies you told, right? And you can't remember who you told what to. You're not going to have peace in your life. If you're lying on your taxes, you're not going to have peace on your income tax return. You're not going to have peace because you're always going to be fearful about getting caught. There are certain things that we do. Getting ourselves into debt. I talked about that last week. Getting ourselves in over our head financially and ringing up our credit cards and getting ourselves in a financial hole. It's hard to have peace when you're living that way. Being a gossip, being a backbiter, stirring up dissension. All of these things are things that will rob us of our peace. So we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, but we also need to keep our hearts free of clutter. You know, many times we don't experience peace in our lives. It's because we're doing these self-destructive things. And we can't possibly have the peace that God wants us to have when we're doing that stuff. So part of having peace in our lives is just asking God to come in and clear out all that junk. Amen? Clear out that clutter. Clear out the junk in our hearts. Say, God, I want to have your peace back in my life. Psalm chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. As my heart grows faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Man, that brings peace. When we understand we serve a big God, amen? We serve a big God. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. No matter what you're facing this morning, no matter how big that mountain is, I want you to know you serve a God that is bigger. Amen? You serve a God that is greater. Yeah, no matter what lies ahead of you, God is bigger. Big enough. He is strong enough. Don't let the enemy rob you of the peace of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the rock that is higher than you. Amen? And that's what gives us the peace that passes understanding. It gives us the peace that the world cannot give. It's the peace of God, the peace of God that is not dependent upon our circumstances. As Jesus said, you're going to have troubles in this world, but Jesus said, I'm going to be right there with you in every single trouble. So my prayer for you this morning is that in this Christmas season, you're going to experience the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the peace of God in your life. And we're going to have a time of worship. And as we're worshiping the Lord, worship team, if you come on up, as we're worshiping the Lord this morning, I want you to open up your heart to the peace of God, to the peace of God. See that God is bigger than anything that you're facing today.